Welcome to the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast, the number one hoodoo and spirituality-based podcast bringing awareness to African-American spirituality in a wide range of thought-provoking topics. I am Papa Seer, your host, your narrator, and your storyteller. Before the show begins, make sure you're subscribed or following the show so you don't miss out on any episodes. And as always, donations of love keep our podcast alive and give us the ability to upgrade the show, enhance our content, and most importantly, do what we love. You can use any link in the description to send your donation of love today. Now, let's start the show. Good morning and grand rising. We are here with another episode of the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast. It is me, Papa Seer, the host, narrator, and storyteller of the number one hoodoo and spirituality-based podcast, the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast. Family, I am so happy to be here. It's been a while since I've dropped a full-fledged episode, but I'm here, I'm on the mic, I'm happy to be here, and as always, there isn't any other place that I'd rather be than right here on the mic on the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast. So what has been going on with Papa Seer? What has my life been looking like? What is this big announcement? Not so big of an announcement anymore, because I have been talking about it via Instagram, you know, via YouTube, of course. But Papa Seer hasn't been podcasting as much because Papa Seer is finally beginning his expat journey, starting with the country of Mexico in May. So to be honest, you all, I've been busy. I've been making money, saving money, getting all of the supplies, equipment that I need to, of course, enhance the podcast. Finally, we are at a place where we can get better equipment, do better things, and just expand this experience. You know, I really am passionate here about what I do. So I look forward to documenting every bit of this expat journey. I look forward to dropping more episodes on the things I discover, the things I find, my experiences, and even offering tips for those of you who are seeking to begin your own expat journey. So, you know, hopefully I can, you know, someone who has a similar lifestyle to me or looks up to my journey, I can be of inspiration to someone out here. Let us get into what we all came here for today, and I'm so happy to talk about this today. I have a really good episode that I want to talk about today, and this episode was inspired by a conversation I was having with my brother. You all know him. He's been on the podcast before. He's done intellectual debates with me, Chan the Musical Mystic. And this was a conversation, you know, we had a few months ago, but Spirit really sat down with me in my spirit to, you know, drop this content. It was about not only the evolution of hoodoo, but talking about how hoodoo is not only regional, because it is 100% regional, but here at this podcast, as I've said before, I pride myself on being one of the torchbearers of what hoodoo looks like in 2024. The evolution of it, the new hoodoo. That's the word that's been going around in the community, the new hoodoo, right? I pride myself on being one of the torchbearers of this era. And I wanted to talk today about how hoodoo is evolving from not only being regional, but it is now also evolving into being something that is very, very personable. Shout out to you, Chan, because we had a really good talk about this, so I partially dedicate this episode to you. So let us jump into this. So my observation and my opinion is, right, I think that where hoodoo is going, the practice, the culture, some even consider this a religion nowadays, I believe that it honestly can be translated as more personable than regional in 2024. And if you don't agree with me, I do believe that as this evolves, it is going to look more personable than just regional. Before we even get into, you know, my thesis statement, my observation, I want to talk about the fact that you cannot escape regional influences, traditions, the vernacular. Let's talk about that and let's talk about what that looks like. The first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the diversity of hoodoo or its regional influences, I think about root work and I think about the plants. My academic studies in hoodoo, right? You will run into so many different practitioners that have different names for plants. And as the old saying goes, you would, if you know, you know, or you would just have to know, but I say you would have to be born in that region. You would have to have an experience in that culture to know what someone was talking about as it relates to just the diversity in the naming. Okay. The naming of the flora and the fauna of hoodoo. What you may call Samson snake root might just be snake root somewhere else. It might be Samson's root. What you may call cinnamon powder, it might be cinnamon bark somewhere else, cinnamon stick. The names change. I don't want to say significantly in all areas, but the names can change significantly just depending upon what you're talking about. So the first thing that I wanted to bring up was the plants. Another thing that it really, really struck a chord with me too, especially when we go into Zora Hyatt's work specifically, is dialect, the way people spoke. Which is why I, you know, took the time to do the podcast episodes about hoodoo voices and really taking those interviews and summarizing the dialect into modern day speech so that it can be understood on an academic level and it also can be, you know, understood universally. Let's be honest, everyone that listens to my content or everyone who is interested in this isn't from the American South. So if you haven't been exposed to the culture and the dialect, when you go into those interviews, and I've said this before as it relates to Hyatt, even Zora, some of it, a lot of it is going to be hard to translate, to understand, to read if you have not been exposed to that manner of speech. But when we dive deeper into this, and I don't want to go into, you know, a super rabbit hole, but even today, dialect is so different, specifically, you know, among the American South. I live in Virginia, and honestly, Virginia is separated into about four regions. You got the mountains on the Western Hemisphere, the Northwestern Hemisphere of Virginia. You have Northern Virginia, closer to the DC area. You have Central Virginia, which is like Richmond. Then you have Southern, you know, the Southern part of Virginia, which is like the lowlands. I'm sorry, five regions. And then you also have the Tidewater area. Okay. So even here in Virginia, people that are from Northern Virginia speak totally different than people who are from Richmond and definitely people who are from Southern Virginia or from Appalachia or even down in the Tidewater area. So just in this one state, there are, you know, specifically minimum five different dialects just upon the region where you're born. Now, when we take our guys off of Virginia and we turn it to the American South, we speak so differently just depending upon where you are from. Everyone knows that people in Louisiana have a specific accent. And then New Orleans, right? New Orleans has a very specific accent. We go over into the Carolinas and then you will find, you know, people who might have been influenced by the Gullah, okay? The Gullah region. All right. And then there is an entirely different dialect of speaking. And then we go into Georgia or in the Gulf Shores of Alabama, right? So the way we say things, the way things are translated are so different. I can give you examples of this, right? So in Louisiana, from my studies, a lot of practitioners would say things like, set your lights. Okay. Set your lights. It literally just means light your candles. But that's the way they say it in Louisiana. From my studies, it was set your lights, set your lights. Another example that I can give you is the word branch water. A lot of people have never heard of branch water. That is a word that is definitely from the mountains, definitely from the Appalachian region. But branch water is another term that means running water from a stream, even running water from a hydrant, believe it or not. But then when you go into, you know, places like Georgia, people might say things like the hydrant instead of saying the faucet. But they were basically saying all of this was just talking about running water, that running water was utilized in the ritual. When we move from dialect and then we move over into the way rituals are done, I think this is the most significant evidence of cultural influence. This is only my opinion. As it relates to the hoodoo culture, I believe that the Gulf region, okay, the states along the Gulf, the rituals are very similar. Then when you go into Florida, Florida is its own entity. People do things in Florida the Florida way. You come over into Southern Carolina, even the bottom tip of Northern Carolina, we will then find rituals influenced by more so Gullah traditions. Then as you start coming more into like the middle of North Carolina up into the southern part of Virginia, a lot of those rituals are influenced by swamp culture because that region once upon a time was one big swamp, okay? And I know for a fact, just even here in Virginia, that a lot of the rituals as it relates to hoodoo culture are heavily influenced by African traditions because the enslaved that were brought here to Virginia, the majority of them didn't make a, you know, a middle passage stop in the Caribbean. They came directly from Africa straight into Virginia. You know, Virginia is a British colony. The British didn't own a lot of islands in the Caribbean during the transatlantic slave trade. That was dominated by the French and the Spanish. So this is why when you go into Louisiana, you go into Alabama around that region, which was owned by the French, the culture is influenced by French culture. Okay. Even sometimes Cajun and Creole, even whispers of Haitian voodoo, definitely in, you know, New Orleans, there are a lot of whispers of Haitian voodoo, not only in the New Orleans voodoo culture, but even in the hoodoo culture as well, if you dig deeper. So again, all of this has been influenced by region, by culture. I definitely have to bring forth that the transatlantic slave trade has a lot to do with this. And just depending upon where, okay, hear me again, where the enslaved were originally brought from, that plays a heavy precedence on the way things are done too. Because we know that our ancestors didn't all come from one region in Africa. They came from all over, as well as the Caribbean as well. Again, just, you know, some observations from my research. Again, I would say Chesapeake hoodoo, a lot of that is influenced by the indigenous here that were in Virginia, in the Carolinas, as well as a lot of African traditions. You go into the Southern Carolinas and then you would see the Gullah Geechee culture, as well as, again, the Gulf Shores. We see a lot of influences from Haitian voodoo. I want to bring up Appalachia as well, because we don't bring up Appalachia too much when we talk about hoodoo, but you will find it in Appalachia as well. And I do think a lot of times it gets confused with Appalachian magic that is derivative of a lot of European traditions mixed with some indigenous traditions. But hoodoo did exist in Appalachia. And I know I'm going to get cut some slack from this because there are a lot of people who are not going to agree with what I'm about to say. That's fine. You know, anything that I say, I can always back it up with evidence. But when people say that hoodoo has been influenced by, you know, it has some European cultural influences, that is true. Okay. I'm going to talk about Appalachia for a second, right? A lot of the influence does come from cunning folk traditions of Europe, you know, Germanic Europe. So I would heavily suggest if you are unaware with the culture of the cunning folk to, you know, do your research, okay? A lot of those traditions, they're kind of similar. I'm gonna be honest with you. They're kind of similar. But this is where we do find that European influence in the hoodoo that comes from Appalachia, all right? And that's just a fact. You know, if anybody doesn't agree with me on that, that's totally fine. But again, I read, I research, I have a blood tie to this, so I know what I'm talking about. We can't escape the cultural influences of this. And I just wanted to do that, you know, brief breakdown of my observations just to add to your academic repertoire as it relates to hoodoo culture, right? Now, let's move forward to evolution, because that is the meat of what I came here to talk about today. So once upon a time, people were not as connected as they were. Traveling was not as fluid. It was not as available. It was really expensive, or it took days just to get to the next city. People did not have the accessibility to travel in the manner in which we do today. Okay. So when we talk about hoodoo and we want to go back to the origins of this in America, it was very much separated based upon where you live. People, there wasn't this massive migration at that point. Oftentimes, people were isolated to where they were. So the traditions pretty much stayed the same based upon where you were from, because you didn't see people moving around too much. Okay. Now, did migration happen? Absolutely. And if someone left Louisiana and they moved into South Carolina and opened up a practice there, they're going to take what they learned from Louisiana with them into South Carolina, but they're also going to integrate it with what they have learned in South Carolina. This is historically evident in a lot of the interviews. I can bring up E.W. Lindsay for one. He was not born in Virginia. He was not born in Richmond. He came from, I believe it was South Carolina, and he learned under his mother and father in the Carolinas and brought those traditions with him into Richmond, Virginia. Okay, so a lot of these practitioners that might have found either their fame in their notoriety in a specific city, they were not from there. Okay. If we go and we look at, you know, the Black American spiritualist movement, Mother Leafy Anderson, she was from St. Louis, I believe. She was from the Midwest. Don't quote me on that one. I know she was from the Midwest, but she got her notoriety when she moved into Louisiana and began opening up all of those churches in Louisiana. But she already had spiritualist churches prior to her coming there, right? So again, when she got into Louisiana and she was in that thick culture of what is New Orleans in Louisiana, best believe you me, her practice elevated, it changed. It is that word we're using today. It evolved. And she then became the infamous Mother Leafy Anderson that we know of today. And if you look at her attire, if you look at her theology, a lot of it is influenced by what she learned when she moved into Louisiana, not necessarily where she was from. Okay. Now, Papa Sierra, what are you talking about? how does that relate to us today in 2024? Well, the beauty of today in 24 is that we have something our ancestors didn't have at that time. We have access. We can travel. It's not hard for us to get on a plane, jump in our car, get in an Uber. We can be in the next city in less than an hour for most of us, okay? For most people, this would have taken a lot of days. Let's go back to Julia Brown, okay? Another practitioner that was in Louisiana, she had to travel at least 30 miles to the next city, and it would take her sometimes a full day of traveling just to get to where she needed to get to so that she could be there with her clients. We don't have that issue today. Travel is so fluid. We have been places. We've seen things. We are traveling the world. And not only are we traveling, but we're experiencing things and we're adding what we experience to our culture. That's a fact. That's evident. I can look at you all's Instagrams, your websites, the content that you put out. And it's evident that we are integrating a lot of things into this in 2024. Another thing that I wanted to talk about was the information leak of today, that is technology. And while a lot of us want to, you know, revel on the toxicity that is social media, I like to look at it in balance because there has to be a yin and a yang with everything, all right? Or else it just, there would be no balance. It doesn't make sense. And whereas, you know, social media is a culprit of putting out a lot of toxicity, a lot of falsities, and perpetuating things that we're trying to dismantle, at the same time, social media is the biggest cultural exchange in the world. We are openly talking about our cultural experiences and influences on any and all spiritual practices, walks of life, and religion. So what happens? Well, a practitioner from St. Louis is listening to me, a practitioner from Virginia, but I spent a long time in Florida. Some things that I might say might resonate with you. Some of the way I might do things might resonate with you. You might want to integrate that into your own practice. I know I have. We all do it. So honestly, to sit and say that the practitioner of today, their hoodoo, is regional, I wouldn't agree with that 100%. I would say there is a regional influence. I believe that our guiding spirits are showing us that there is, this can be eclectic and literally guiding us to what we need to enhance this. Let's be honest. There are not a lot of elders available anymore. Where are they? You know, where are the elders that are supposedly taking us under their wing and teaching this? You know, the new elders are people that look like me, people that look like you. Your new elders are 9 times out of 10, probably in their 30s, 40s, latest maybe their 50s. In this day and age. So respect has to be given where it is due. And I think when we talk about elder in today's age, it doesn't always have to have, silver hair attached to it. You know, no shade, no nothing like that intended. I say all of this to say is that I believe what we are doing as modern practitioners, you know, engaging in this cultural exchange, I think it's really elevating us. You know, there are so many things that I have learned just being amongst my spiritual family, and we are a group that comes from every corner of America and the world, to be honest with you. Honestly, and you don't have to agree with me when I say this, but I truly believe that your hoodoo is going to look however spirit needs it to look for you. You might be from South Carolina, but you might find yourself in the hands of a godmother or a godfather from Texas, and you're going to learn it the Texas way. But then you might find yourself in the hands, you know, of my brother Cosmic, and you're going to learn it the South Carolina way, his way, right? Or you might find your hands in the brother, in my hands. You're going to learn it Virginia way, or my other brother, you know, and you're going to learn it his way. So what we are doing right now is, it just looks like this hoodoo gumbo pot, and everyone doesn't agree with it. Some people really hate it, but I don't. You know, what's wrong with evolution? What is wrong with something evolving and changing? The work isn't getting any weaker. Let's be real about that. Thank you, Spirit, for bringing me that up today. Let's talk about it. Y'all mad about the hoodoo evolving, right? But the work is not getting weaker. The work is not getting weaker. Wow, that just hit me in my chest as I'm sitting here recording this. The work is actually getting stronger. It's actually not getting weaker. And I can say that with confidence just from my experiences with my own spiritual family. We are materializing things that our ancestors never dreamed of. Did you hear me, my people? Homes that they wish they could have stepped foot in for 24 hours. Vehicles when some of them had to walk barefoot to their foot bled. So for those of you that are so upset about the evolution of this, get over it. Get over yourself. Get out of your ego. Because from where I'm sitting, to me, it looks like the work is getting stronger now that I sit back and I think about it. And it's the same people, right, that have a problem with things changing. It's the same people that have a problem with things evolving. To me, you know, it sounds almost kind of like racism. It sounds almost like that similar spirit that you don't want things to change. Wow. Spirit said the work isn't getting any weaker though. Wow. On that note, I think I'm just gonna land right on there. Okay. I'm just gonna land right here and let that sink in for y'all, okay? Hoodoo is evolving and the work is not getting weaker. It's actually getting stronger. Shout out to all of you who are on your journey right now, those of you who are beginning your journey, those of you who are looking for teachers, a place. You know, we start our open enrollment again in October. So if you're looking for a spiritual family, you know, we will start our open enrollment in October, but in the meantime, in between time, reach out to me personally. I would love to speak with you, love to do spiritual counsel with you. The link to my website, of course, is in the bio of this podcast, in the description of this podcast. So click on that and always check out the website, hcrgold.com, for any of our upcoming classes and courses. Family, friends, listeners, and supporters, I want you all to remember that you are blessed. You are divine, okay? You come from the best of the best. Your ancestors were blessed. They are divine, even those that weren't. I bless them today. You know, may your hands be like, I haven't said this in a while, but may your hands be like the Midas touch. May everything that you touch may materialize as if it were gold, my people. I send you out in love, light, peace, prosperity, most importantly, protection. And with that, I release you into the atmosphere.